I'll start this off since I have the mic. And good morning, church family.
Good morning.
I'm Pastor Rick Dockery, and I'm one of your warriors today. So, who's about to introduce themselves is your mighty men, Abundant Living Family. And we're going to start right here.
Good morning, church family. I'm Mike Moda, and it was really an honor to be part of this group with these great warriors. So I'm excited about today. I'm looking forward to giving this message. And so I'll turn it over to the next one.
Hello, my name is Ron Link, and I too am excited to be part of this. The transparency, the truth, and depth that we went into in this group cannot be changed or matched by any other.
Hi, my name is Alberto Medina. I'm very grateful to be a part of this. Before this, I mean, I had nobody, except for I always had my family, but other than that, I didn't have nobody, you know, and this was very important to me to have, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Amen, brother. Poor Tom Pablo Valasquez, the fisherman of men. enjoy the study today, and I think it's very powerful. I think you'll enjoy it.
I'm Jose, the crazy drummer, and I'm proud of these guys, and I'm grateful for what God has led us through.
Hey, I'm Catalino Sanchez, the same soul, and I want to join Pablo in that fishing.
Hi, I'm Glenn. No, I'm very grateful that we are able to not only share the reading, the study, but also share a lot of our brothers' insight of what they think and what they believe in. And I'm just grateful that we are all together here.
Okay. So, you have just been introduced to your mighty men, and four of them are going to stand before you and minister to you this morning on how the Lord has ministered to them during this 13-week study we just had. So, who will remain here is Pablo Vasquez, Mike Mata, Ron Link, and Jose Nevada. All right? First up, you other gentlemen, you can remain in your spots, or your other, you could have a seat, and I'll have a seat with you as well, okay? First up to speak,
me,
will be Jose Nevada.
Can I get like five mics, like a press conference? Somebody should ask crazy questions. All right, so, morning, everybody.
Morning. All right.
Lord bless these minutes I have to share, and let your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. So like pastors have said, these 10 men have been meeting to read, study, and discuss, share emotionally and spiritually while learning what the author and fellow warrior, Lance Ingram, has to say about being a warrior for Christ.
I have to share a warrior for Christ.
Yeah. Perfect, right? So I was drawn to the author by our shared gifting and service to the Lord. We are both drummers for Jesus. Amen. So Lance is a drummer at a huge church, the Church of the Highlands in Alabama, under the teaching of Pastor Chris Hodges. On the very first page of the book, Lance writes about leading the congregation into the presence of God through supernatural encounters behind the drum kit, inspired a passion for men to know and obey Jesus, so they can experience true peace and purpose in every area of their lives. Lance used the word supernatural. He's referring to the Holy Spirit. It hit me hard because behind that drum kit up there, I have felt and seen the movement of the Holy Spirit across this room. Hallelujah. It's humbling, let me tell you. I knew this book was going to move my life with Christ in a way possible that only through the work of the Holy Spirit can be accomplished. This book was written for men. men who are naturally wired for war and battle because that's how God created us. We need commitment and focus to be the warriors that God created us to be. Because we are in a war. Do not doubt it for one second. Every day of our lives is war in this world dominated by the prince of power and the air, Satan. I did not capitalize that. Even though it is in the book, I refuse to give that any dominance. Like any war, those who fight must be prepared. Anyone who's been in the military, law enforcement, or any structured discipline knows it requires a regimen of countless hours of repetition, drilling, training, preparation, pain, and dedication. They also know the benefits of persevering. In even the smallest detail, it can mean the difference between winning, losing, life, and death. So how do Christian men prepare? Because we need Jesus. Jesus is a man stronger dead than Satan is alive. Amen. So how do we prepare? We prepare with relationship. Will a diesel engine run on chocolate syrup? Try it. It won't. So it was designed to run only on diesel fuel. We were designed to have relationship with Jesus to provide peace and a revelation on purpose. Psalm 107:9 says, "For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." While chocolate syrup may be a good thing, I won't pick that over my relationship with Jesus. No way. I pray you all feel the same. Amen. So we're born with a vacuum in our lives, one that only God can fill. Nothing truly fills it. Not money, stuff, titles, prestige, people, they will fail you. It is all fleeting after a temporary high. Has anyone ever seen a U-Haul following a hearse? God's promise of fulfillment is everlasting eternity. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Warriors prepare by getting in the Word and praying. God's Word is our fuel for the strife of life. God's Word directs us to pray. Pray without ceasing. We are instructed. God hears even the smallest prayer. Just ask Him to move supernaturally and reveal to us how we can be more like Him. We need the Holy Spirit, the gift of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Isaiah 41:10 tells us, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And if you move up to 55:11, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve for the purpose for which I sent it." These Old Testament promises of God are covered today by the power of the Holy Spirit, who through the sword of the Spirit provides a powerful weapon in our warfare against the enemy. Warriors prepare by worshiping. Worship prepares us to enter into the throne room and evokes the Holy Spirit. Remember, in heaven, worshiping is what we'll be doing. Worshiping, worshiping, and worshiping. Amen. I used to think that was crazy. So really, I got to go up there and sing all day, 24/7? I get it now. So we can try to ignore any truth we choose, but will it not make it untrue? I had to read that 10 times before I figured it out. A heart for God through worship feeds our souls the bread of life. Warriors prepare by persevering. It's my favorite. We need all the energy we can get to fight the war that challenges our spirit every moment of the day. The world's created a mold for men to fit into, but this mold is not a godly mold. We must fight the flesh with the spirit. It's a challenge to keep our eyes on God, not earthly things. We must commit to obedience through unrelenting commitment. We were created for excellence. Daniel 6:3 says, "Daniel was preferred because an excellent spirit was in him." In the world, men are portrayed as lazy, lukewarm, dishonest, inconsistent, apathetic, feminine, filthy, etc., etc. Sadly, many men have fallen for these lies, and they're okay with existing a life of mediocrity. Given a choice between excellence and comfort, most men will pick comfort. As mentioned earlier, those who chose the warrior's path, the path is one of sacrifice, pain, obedience, and dedication. God wants more for us. He wants to escalate us to greater places, positions, and purposes, but he's waiting on our complete alignment, our surrender. Our excellence in spirit is the permission God needs before he will enlarge our territory and increase our impact. God can do everything for us. Except make the choice to be a true warrior for him. Warriors, hold fast to your relationship, prayer, worship, and in all things persevere. Excuse me. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Powerful stuff.
stuff, huh? I tell you what, I'm excited for the weeks that are coming up for the camping where all of us get together, and this here is very powerful, and it just increases, and the other men too that didn't take this class but are part of our men's group and prayers that just didn't choose to do this, but this is very powerful. So what is it to be a warrior for God? This was a powerful reminder that a daily encounter with the cross of Jesus is where men are equipped to win the spiritual war. That purpose is found in a place where we stop feeding our desires and start following God's desires. We have to do that. Let's face it, we were made to have a relationship with God. Especially at this time, we should. So what do we need to have that relationship? We need the Holy Spirit, correct? We need to have that to have a relationship. The Holy Spirit is our fuel in the fight for obedience. He is the presence that leads and inspires. He empowers us. The Holy Spirit protects us. The Holy Spirit directs us. It energizes us. And it will dominate the spiritual enemy. Because we need to dominate that spiritual enemy. The enemy, he has a crown. Did you know that? Yeah, the only crown that he has is the crown of liars. He's gained that. He's earned that. Jesus says that he's the master of it. This teaching has taught us that in this world cannot satisfy us. Okay, only the Word of God can do that. Has taught us to make time for the Lord. How do we do that? How do we make time for the Lord? We live our daily lives. How do we make time for the Lord? Well, I tell you how. It's by having or starting a daily regimen. Just make a daily regimen and stick to it. Word, prayer, and worship. That easy. Word, prayer, and worship. Word, prayer, and worship. Everybody say word, prayer, and worship. And that's all we got to do. We stick to that. Now, this is describe the word prayer and worship. Because it is our foundation for victory in the spiritual war. Let's talk about that. Let's take the word. I know Jesus by knowing the word. Because Jesus is the word. Amen? We have to be in the word daily. We need to believe it. We need to apply it to our everyday lives. We need to memorize it so we can be equipped to spread it to somebody else. So we need to memorize it. We need to be in the Word. How about worship? You can do it in your car. You could just say praise. Hallelujah means praise God. I don't know about you, but when I experience true excitement, especially here and just now, a few minutes ago, a passion. When I'm worshiping Jesus, I invest the time in reflecting who he is and what he's done for me in my life. Or that week, whether it was good or it was bad. About prayer. Prayer is when I entwine my spirit with his, because my spirit is his. And we become one. Powerful time with the Almighty and this side of heaven. It doesn't have to be in that order, in any order. Prayer, worship, or worship, prayer, word. I learned that everything I have, activity I do, including fishing, place I go, and circumstances I'm in are opportunities to be an ambassador for Christ. And that's what we're here for. As I give time for, or make sure to give time for my warriors and brothers to express themselves in this teaching, because it's very important, I leave you with a few thoughts and something that God put in my heart in the last couple weeks. And this is a quote from the book. Worry is a nonsense, practical approach for men who are tackling the challenges of being fathers, of being husbands and sons, and staying grounded in the things of the Word of God. Unquote. You know, I wish this body, this church body right here, would take more advantage of what our church has to offer in regards to our teachings. This was great. In regards to our gatherings, our prayer night, Bible teaching, the Bible says, do not forsake to gather yourselves. And you'd be surprised what I learned from this man, or sometimes when I do for Bible studies. You know, I remember something Sister Molly said one time. I'm doing the Bible study, and I forget what study it was, but she said, and then she gets up in the morning, she thanks the Lord every morning. And she thanks him, thank you, Lord, for giving me another day to get it right. And that stuck in my head, and I do that in the morning. So you see how being around, gathering ourselves, we learn from each other. We pick up from each other. Brother might be going through something that I went through, or he might be going through something that I'll be prepared next time I go through because of what he said. And I'm going to finish it with this note. The Lord put this in my heart. It's a little different. We all have cars. Whether it's in your council or whether it's in your center council or in your column, you have park, you have reverse, you have neutral, and you have drive. And some of them even have super or after drive, let's say one and two. Are you in park? Well, first of all, let me ask you, how is your spiritual life right now? How is your spiritual life right now? Are you in park? I'll just watch the service from home. I don't have to be there. God understands. Or, I'm not ready for that church stuff if you're not a believer. Or just come in for the word and skip the announcements and skip the worship. Ouch. Or are you in reverse? Are you backsliding, going back to the old man or old woman? Let me remind you, this is a study of men's worship. But there's women out here that are single moms, and they have to be the warrior in their house. They have to be the father figure and the mother figure. So this can affect you, too. Are you in reverse? Are you backsliding, going back to the old man or woman? Are you the same man in the mirror or woman that when you walk away, you become of this world, as the Bible says? When you're in the mirror, you're a Christian. As soon as you walk out, you're not that person anymore. Or are you in neutral? We call it idling or stagnant. You might just be stagnant with God right now, not moving in the things of the Lord. Not moving backwards, but not moving forward either, not reading or staying in the Word of God. Just doing your duty and going to church as a checklist. Or are you in drive? Are you in that drive, seeking his face daily, on fire for the Lord, looking deeper and deeper, knowing there is no depth that you would ever reach? Amen. Or are you on that one and two, super drive, walking in joy with that love and that joy that surpasses all understanding? Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. Let's start realizing that. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
Good morning, church family. I'm very pleased to be here today to offer this message. God put it in my heart to do this message. And so let me start by praying to God that he allows me to offer this message in a way that glorifies his name. And so with that in mind, I'd like to start by thanking Pastor Ken for the leadership that he showed in the course and the discussion that he started. Yes, thank you. You know, some of the discussion that goes on in this environment is personal, and it stays in the group. But it has to be led by a strong spiritual individual. And so Pastor Ken did that. And thank you for that. We all appreciated that, Pastor. Let me also thank Pastor Rick. Pastor Rick, you are on fire, sir. Your ability and your biblical insights into the different sections of the book made it all more so relevant for all of us, and we appreciate what you did. So, Pastor Rick, thank you very much. So, I want this message to be more than just a section of the book. I was asked to pick a section of the book, and the section that spoke to me was school and work, for reasons that you'll find out in a little bit. The title of the message is A Warrior in Real Life. So as you can tell from that, there's a personal message here. And so bear with me as I go through this message, because it is personal. But I wanted this message to have two meanings, two goals. One, to be inspirational. It has to be inspirational to have meaning. And two, for you to get to know Mike Moda a little bit better. You see me every morning, every Sunday here, and you say hi, you say bye, and I reciprocate, but you get to know me a little bit better today. And likewise, for those of you online, I know some of you, but I hope to get to know those of you online a little bit better as well. So, the section, chapter 9 of the book, the heading, and I'll read this so I don't miss it. It states, winning the spiritual war requires having God's perspective of school and work. Second only to our families, there is no greater opportunity for us to have eternal impact than at our schools and workplace. So this spoke to me in volumes. So let me start with school. After all, with children, that's where our life starts, in school. As a young boy, school was drilled into my life by my parents, almost in a dictatorial fashion. There was no time for anything else in my life. No time for sports, no time for a lot of fun. As a father and as a grandfather, I don't believe in that. I know there has to be a balance in life for the kids to grow up healthy. So I believe in all those activities as well. But as far as I can remember, being a 5, maybe a 6-year-old, I've always wanted to become a civil engineer in life. I've asked myself why. I didn't know anything about the profession. I'm glad I stuck with it. I love it, and I don't want any other profession. I don't think I could do anything else in life. But I remember that my uncle, Uncle Francisco, was a civil engineer. And he kind of became a role model for me. And so I looked up to him and says, you know, when I grow up, I want to be like him. And so I stuck with it. And in school in Africa, war started. I was 9 years old and we had to leave Angola, where I was born. And as you see on the TV screens now, what's going on with Ukraine, that was my life in 74. We had to grab our bags and run to the airport because the bombs were going off in the background and we could hear them. And we were fleeing for our lives. And so we go to Portugal. We lived there for a few years. I lived with my father. My mother had moved on. My parents were divorced. My mother had moved on. And my father had served in a war in Africa, so he brought a lot of that baggage into my life. We now call it PTSD, but he brought a lot of that into my life. But as I want to call it, my earthly father wasn't a perfect man by any means. Had a lot of flaws. But he had one vision for me. And that vision was for me to come to this great country, for me to go to school here, and for my kids to be born here. My father loved this country, and now I get it. I get it why he loved it so much. And for those of you who come from other countries, I'm sure you can relate to what I'm saying. So in the fall of 1982, we landed at Kennedy Airport with dreams and $200 in our pockets. And that's all we had. But my earthly father's vision
was slowly going to happen. I went on to go to school and finish a master's in civil engineering in 92. Then in 93, I meet my wife. She grew up in the lakes. She attended this church as a young girl. So she knew God. I didn't know God. I knew of God, but I didn't know God. So our marriage was, from that standpoint, was not built on a solid foundation. And believe me, as a civil engineer, I know what it takes to build a solid foundation in the physical world. But in the spiritual world, that foundation wasn't there. And so things were hard. And unfortunately, we got divorced. And so bear with me as I go through this personal situation, but I think it's important, the inspirational part of it. But as we read in Mark 10:9, let no man, let me make sure that I get it straight here. Let no man separate what God has put together. And so in the fall of 2007, we remarried. School remained an important aspect in my life, and I went back to school at the good old age of 39 to complete a PhD in structural engineering, which I finished 7 years later, working full-time and taking care of my family. But still, things weren't right because God was still missing in my life. And as I look back, it was like sitting on a two-legged stool or a chair with a broken leg. Eventually, you're going to fall. And what was missing was God, that third leg, that sound support that was missing in my life, I have to admit. But as the man of the house, I had to take the leadership, and I did it. And with so much going on, it was, things were rocky again. But then in 2016, we moved to this area. And we got involved with this church. And we reconnected with Pastor Cam. Pastor Cam, by the way, married us here in 93, this very same altar. So we reconnected with God, and I put God first and foremost in my life. And that has made all the difference in my life. That is the third leg that was missing in my life. You know, through all this, there were situations of personal losses. When I married my wife, she brought our 4-year-old little Gregory into my life. It was already made family. But in 2011, unfortunately, we lost Gregory. And that was a personal loss that changed our lives. But through that, my wife's spiritual strength was inspirational to me to continue and carry on. So, in conclusion, if you're involved in school, do the best you can. Strive for that, strive for that graduation, do the best you can. If you're pursuing that promotion at work, pursue it hard. God gave you a gift and he wants you to use it. Don't shortchange yourself. But remember who makes that possible. Don't forget every day who makes that possible is God who makes that possible. So my earthly father had a vision for me. But I believe now that I am living my Heavenly Father's vision for me. So thank you. Appreciate your time.
Everybody, it's only by the grace of God that I am here today. So I just want to start out with a prayer. Thank you, Father, for this day. I ask, Father, that by the Holy Spirit, you speak through me, and that this message be received by somebody, that it may change their life the way you've changed my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Warrior Brothers, great job, man. I'm under pressure here. I'm batting cleanup. Put me in the fourth spot. I'm batting cleanup here. But I'm not a warrior. I'm too afraid to lose. I feel unqualified for what you're calling me to. But Lord, with your strength, I've got no excuse, because broken people are exactly who you use. Some of you might know these words. They're words to a song by Sanctus Real called Confidence. We sang it before one of our meetings, and it was fitting for this group. But broken people, I was a broken person many years ago. So far broken, I didn't think there was anything left for me. I was looking at a hopeless end to my life before I met Jesus. Now I'm filled with endless hope. And he even says in the Bible, the broken people he chooses, in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. Thanks. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. Nobody was a bigger fool than me. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I glory in the Lord every day. Like I said, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. I was running the streets, living a life of debauchery, in and out of prison, many of you know. And if I didn't turn my life over to him, who knows where I'd be. Hold on, bear with me here. A little nervous, as you can tell. It was an honor when PK came to me and asked me to speak. Because first of all, I didn't feel qualified for this. But apparently PK and the Father see something in me that I still haven't found or seen. But I'm not going to stop trying till I get it right. No one but the Lord could do what he's done in me and to me. I was living in darkness and sin most of my life. And if you would have told me 15, 20 years ago, I'd be standing here in a church giving a message, I would have said, what kind of drugs are you on? Walking with Jesus and praying and looking to him every day. He tells you he'll make you new again. He can make you whole. In Ezekiel 36:26, he says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. He's put his spirit in me. He's given me a new heart. And sometimes, a lot of times, I feel like I don't deserve it. It's nothing that I earned by what I did. It's done through my faith in Jesus dying on the cross for my sins. So I get up every morning and I put on that armor of God because I am a warrior. It was a tough battle in the secular world with 4 felony convictions over my head. Finding work was tough. Keeping friends was tough. But if I can do that in the secular world with God by my side, I can do it in the spiritual world. Amen. And it is a battle. And every day, first thing out of bed is putting on that armor, praying to God, getting into the Word. In fact, I was just told this morning by someone I'm very fond of and who's dear to me that there is no greater love. And this is true. There is no greater love. So, I'm not defined by the things I've done wrong. I'm defined by what Jesus did right. His righteousness. I came out of prison not a bitter man, but a better man. And it's ironic that I had to go to prison gain my freedom. I was in bondage with man. I was in bondage with the demon, but I am not a slave to sin anymore. So, I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, PK. Thank you, Warrior Men. It was an awesome group. I've learned a lot about myself, about you. I would go to battle for anybody here, especially these men. They got my back, and I got theirs. But I just want to say, in closing, never put a comma where God puts a period, and never put a period where God puts a comma. Thank you.
Technological tip. Finger recognition and notes and all that. So I am a warrior of God. I've always knew God, but the relationship has begun super deep here at this church specifically. I'm allowed to question my pastor, not in trying to prove him wrong, but to literally express and go through my curiosities to the point where it's easy and simple to understand why God loves me so much. And for that, I appreciate it. And not only that, but to be with a group of men who are very transparent, I'm very proud to be in that group and to be a warrior, because it's not easy being honest when you're so tough on yourself, when you look at yourself in the mirror. Who wants to admit out in the open that I've sinned, that I've done wrong? It's not easy, but through this book as well, I've learned that. I've been transparent. I've been even more transparent with my wife. That's very, very important. So, I was going to do a testimony, so something soft. As men, we have a hard time admitting our flaws, faults, and sins. As men, it is easy to try and cover all those things with deeds of forgiveness. I know. Sometimes when I do wrong, I don't even want to admit that I'm wrong. I'd give an extra gift if I could, just to keep it silent. I would earn extra money or something. I would make a gift. I would build a she shed if I couldn't even have to admit my flaws. But I don't ask for it. I don't ask for the forgiveness like that. And that was my biggest thing as a man that I've seen in this book. We as men tried our very best to do better after our shortcomings, but most of the time we never tried to correct them as they were done wrong. We don't say, hey, I'm sorry I did this, because the guilt and the ugliness of what we feel we've done overpowers that point, that break point, that when we ask God for forgiveness and the persons we offended or are affected by our sins, that we can come better and be forgiven, be brand new, to know that that stuff sheds off, just like the armor that Ron was talking about. After we let it clean, nobody shields themselves after they have like a knife in their back. Nobody puts on armor after there's a wound on our chest or some type of injury that we've suffered. It's not logical. We have to patch our wounds up. We have to ask for forgiveness, look them in the eyes and know that and feel that moment that when we hurt you, it really affected us. And from there, from that healing moment, we put on that armor and we don't look back, because we don't want to offend the people that we love. And we want to move forward truly as warriors. Warriors don't go into the battlefield afflicted with wounds. We clean that gangrene, put our boots back on, and then we hit them trenches. This book is evolving me to not just be a man of God, but also one of God's warriors, literally. A warrior in every sense of the word. To be a warrior in Christ is to be trained and experienced in battle for our souls, to educate ourselves on who's our enemy and anticipate all forms and angles of attack and counter them. Victory is a must every day. Just like how Pablo said, every day we have to be in the Word. We have to train ourselves, because for that one little thing that we don't know, it could damn our salvation, and I'm not with that. He's given us knowledge and weapons for victory. I've learned in this book, the discussions I have with the men, that the devil will attack you in new ways, but with the same weapons. It doesn't matter what age they were in, they faced the same issues that we face, just with a new facade or some type of new tool, but it doesn't matter, because our weapons are living. They are alive within us to battle and to win. Be in the living word as much as you can, and we will be warriors without fail. I like how Theo said, worship, prayer. What was the other one? Word, worship, prayer. He said that a lot recently, and that's definitely touched me in a good way. So I end it with the verse that touched me the most. And it was Romans 5, 3, and 4. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not push us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So I thank you guys, because I'm a better father, a better man, and a warrior of Christ now. I don't just sit in a seat and just soak it up, and now I get to go out into the world and apply that and bring other people. So thank you guys. Thank God most of all, but I really do appreciate this group. It's enlightened me in a whole bunch of new ways, and I appreciate you.
Well, there you have it, right? This morning, you've got this opportunity to see into the lives, into the hearts of your brothers. We here, I love something that Pastor Ken, in a teaching he brought out many years ago, ALF, and that funny ALF. And to me, from that point on, this has always been the Abundant Living Family. It's never really, it stopped being a church, okay? It stopped just being a place to gather. For me, it stopped being even just the sanctuary of worship. You have all become my family. And we are family. Four brothers and five who gave testimony today. They spoke about things. They engaged our minds and our hearts, remembering life is a war when we talk about it. It's a war against your eternal spirit. You might have been raised and born into a concept, into a culture in which you think life is life. And then when you get embraced in something like faith, oh, that's just part of life. No, we are in a falling existence. Whether you are at the beginning or whether you are here now, and there is an energy and an attempt to keep you in that fallen existence. So it's a war. It's against you. There is a real enemy that does not want to see you reconnect your spirit and your heart to the God who's created this heaven, this earth, and all the boundless universes, a reality. We heard some testimony today about how to deal with that. We got tools from Pablo. Word, worship, and prayer. So weapon in this war that we're having. We heard about engaging in life. Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. And whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. And whatever you do, know that God, that the Lord is in what you do. We heard how even one spouse sanctifies the home. So for those who are in a situation, in a relationship where you think that you might be the only believer in your scenario, well, be that one. And know that God is with you. And know that your presence in that relationship can bring change. Stay prayerfully and stay hopefully for that. And if you're not that person in that, and you're one that's viewing according to this, know that there is somebody praying for you to be in that situation. What qualifies us as warriors? Not by what we do, but by who we serve. the God. God qualifies us to be warriors. You might think, well, what do I need to do to be able to wage this battle of life and fight these wars? And do I need to pray enough? Do I need to read enough? Do I need to go to church enough? Do I need to do whatever? No, you don't need to jump into any hoops. What you need to do is open up your heart and allow the Holy Spirit of God to move through you. Moves through you makes you a warrior. Not by the battles you think you win, but by the war, the battle that Christ has won by giving up his life for you on the cross. And not only giving up his life for you on the cross, rose again, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and is the mediator between you and God, and he is the vanquisher of all sin, and therefore makes you the victorious warrior of all sin. He gives us the armor. One of our brothers is not in here. He's in absence, but his heart is here with us. The word will tell you it takes 10 men to start a house of faith. 10 did this program. But that does not negate all the other brothers that are part of this church family. You have a responsibility. You have a job. You are required to take care of the things God has entrusted you as men. To yourself, to your spouses, to your family, to this church, to the faith that God has given you. So I'm thankful for every brother who can hear me or sitting in this sanctuary right here, right now. Thank you that God has put us all together. Lastly, Kat spoke of transparency. It's a challenge, definitely for people, surely for men. It's a challenge to be transparent, right? How do you get over it? God knows everything about you. Tell it to him. Trust in him. He will show you how to trust in others. Transparency strengthens us, grows us together, bonds us together, makes us to it. We as parents know one of the first things that a child can learn is to try to divide and conquer when it comes to two-parent households, right? Okay, right? That is a worldly concept. But who influences the world but the enemy? And if it can be done as something as small as a child, it can surely be done among us as adult believers, as grown believers, as who we think we are as mature believers, right? When we hold inside of us things that can either be helpful to others, right, or releasing it can be helpful to us. Transparency. We as leaders know the difference, and I'll speak of this, between secrecy and privacy. Yes, we are bound in privacy. But secrecy often has, you know what, the wrong motives about it. So know that you have the ability, as brothers and sisters in here, to keep privacy in its right realm as you are transparent to one another. Healthy. Healthy leadership, healthy brothership, healthy sistership, healthy fellowship. So I'll end with this as we, the warriors that you see that have gone through these weeks and have stood before you now and ministered to you according to how God has ministered to them, remember these things, seek them out, engage in them. We will all be the better for it. And we will all be what God has called us to be for it. Pastor Ken.
Praise God. I want to say this. Pastor Rick already said it so well. This is not a clique. So if you're a man sitting here and you're saying, well, gee, I heard them say that they would die for one another, we would. I believe that's a relationship that we have, but we'll welcome any man in this fellowship. You need to know that. And so Monday nights, first Monday night of the month prayer, third Monday night of the month, we have a get-together over at Brother Keith's house, and it's a great time. They'll end the Tuesday groups. The Tuesday group this Tuesday will be our last one. Mike, you take that. I'm going to ask the warrior men to come back up. There were some men that didn't want to share. They just didn't feel comfortable in that, and that's fine. So don't think anybody got left out. And I've asked you guys for 3 months of your lives on Tuesday nights, and we went way over time most of the time. And all of you gave, some of you called me, would say, Pastor Ken, I'm sick tonight, but I don't want to miss it. Can I come? I'll put a mask on. I'll do whatever. And I said, yes. And so they came sick. They came, if they were working, they got the videos. They asked us to record it. They got the videos. And I just thought there should be something that we can do besides this book and the relationship that we had. That's the most important thing. There should be something that we can do that you can remember this. And so I went ahead and I purchased these shirts. This is mine.
Drop the mic.
That was the pastor to drop the mic. And so it says warrior on the front. On the back it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then it's got warrior on the sides and a cross on this side. And I just thought they were beautiful shirts and I wanted to give them out. Brother Glenn, Brother Albert, where you at, brother? There you go. Amen. And we go to Pablo. Ron. Like, you need another shirt with Jesus on it. Blake, would somebody give this to Blake on Tuesday?
Yes.
Let me make sure Blake gets this on Tuesday. He's bringing the pizza, so he better be here. Jose. Make sure I got the right sizes here. And myself. And then we have Mike. And we have Kat. And then we have our loving and, I'm telling you, fiery Pastor Rick. Praise God. Amen. Wear them in health. Let's wear them when we're together. Mm-hmm. Let it distinguish who we are. And never forget what God has called you to be. Mm-hmm. Because we walk out of these doors and the real world's going to smack us right in the face. But we are different because of 13 weeks, three months together on Tuesday night for an hour and a half, 2 hours. God has changed our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done in those Tuesday night meetings. Thank you for the transparency, the things that we shared, God, that we would never tell anyone else, but we've shared with one another because we know that you're healing and that you're doing great things in our lives. I pray for the men of this church, God, that it would not be just 10, but it would be everyone that would get involved and be the warriors that they've been called to be. I thank you for my brothers. I thank you for the message today. I thank you for their hearts. And I thank you for what you have done. This is just the beginning. This is not an end. This is just the beginning. And we're expecting greater things. Dismiss us in your love and care. Watch over us and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Men, going on the retreat, give me 10 minutes just to say goodbye to the majority of the people, and then I will meet with you, and we'll go over things for 2 weeks. All right?